Good morning. We have to find a way of singing Christmas carols all year long. I don't know why. They're such beautiful songs. Someone should cut those lights, please. Thank you. They're such beautiful songs, and they're amazing how they motivate our souls and our hearts to the one who we need to adore this morning. And Christmas is such a short window of time, and it's one of my most favorite times. It's my most favorite time for so many reasons. We're singing a song in our cantata. You're going to hear this if you haven't already, but it goes something like this. I'm not going to sing it for you, but it says sometimes, I know it's a disappointment. It says sometimes Christmas makes me cry. Now, it's a serious note, and I hope I don't get too choked up when I say this, but Christmas has all kinds of memories for me. Memories of our house when my parents were still around. My grandmother and my aunt lived with me. If you can imagine, my father built a house with an in-law suite. That's like he had so much faith and amazing patience to do that. And they were great people. But he built an in-law suite, and my grandmother and my aunt lived with us all my life. And Christmas was the most amazing time. It was a time for us to share presents and special food that we wouldn't get any other time. And we would eat, and we would eat, and we would play games. And it was just the time that, in my memory, is just so vivid, and it continues to be. Of course, we've moved on to different traditions now, and the traditions of our house are different. But again, they still seem to revolve around eating. And that's a great thing. But food and family and all those special things that should be the memory of Christmas and happy times. That's what Christmas means to me, and I'm sure each one of us in this room have sentiments of the same, maybe not exactly, but memories of special times that Christmas reminds you of. But as I talk to people in my everyday work, and I find that there seems to be a lack of satisfaction during this time of year. It's also a time when so many people are depressed, and there are suicides, and there are people that are having to go into healthcare for mental illness because it's an overwhelming time. And it seems to be a desire for us to get more and have more and to have presence and to somehow fill a hole that's inside of us with whatever this world offers at this season of time. Maybe that's your situation this morning. Maybe it's not. But I'm going to challenge you with a couple of questions that I'd like you to ask yourself, as I've asked myself during this Christmas season. First of all, what does Christmas mean to you personally? And secondly, what is it that you would like to get out of this Christmas? Something special. Something that goes beyond our presents and our food. The holidays from work and all those special events that are this time of year. What is it that you would like this Christmas to be and how it can be special? You know, for many in this room, the specialty of Christmas has been found in the person of Jesus Christ. And I would like to read some verses with you this morning, as we've shared already from this, from the praise team, Isaiah chapter 7. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. We've already quoted these verses, and I would like you to read this along with me in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let me read that again. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Over to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with the judgment and justice from the time forward, even forever. Amen. You've heard these verses many, many times. They're verses that are read at this time of year. They're verses that talk about the celebration of December the 25th, as we know Christmas. What an amazing advent that we read in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that there would be a sign given and that there would be a baby and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. What an advent this world saw, that the very God of heaven would become human and live with us. We also shared those verses this morning from John, that he came and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. In Micah and Zechariah, the prophecy went out saying there would be a deliverer that would come for the land of Israel, and he would come and he would take them out of their bondage and out of their problems, and he would deliver them from all their oppressors. And we know it came to pass when Messiah came, and it was fulfilled in Luke chapter 2. And we've all read that setting when the hillside was dark and there was a order or communication given to Mary, God's maidservant, and she would give birth to a baby. And it came about in the exact way that God had said it to her, in exactly the same conditions, in exactly the same plan as God had communicated to her. And the declaration went out throughout the land, and the hillside lit up like daylight, and there were angels that shouted and exclaimed the glory of God. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Then there was a great outburst. Man, imagine the choir that day. Imagine the cantata that day when the outburst from heaven exclaimed, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." What an amazing event. God became man. God's perfect gift to this world was his Son. And the one who was in heaven and was the song of angels came, and we read that, we sang that song. Why was he found in such low estate? Imagine, the King of all creation. He's laying in a manger and he's covered with straw and he's beside the oxen and the cattle. The very God who created all things and in him all things consist lay in a manger. But it was God's plan that he would bring himself to us. And God's perfect Son, his perfect gift, was found in the person of Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel. Well, this present that was given, what did it look like? We read further on in Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7. We read about a unique character about this gift, a unique character of this person of Jesus Christ. I'm sure each one of us can remember a time when you got a special gift that was very unique. Maybe it was because you had asked for it and asked for it. And if you're anything like our children, not so much now, but when they were younger, they would ask over and over, and like you finally just got it for them because you couldn't listen anymore. And they would ask for it, and it was something they had set their eye on, and they wanted it so badly. Maybe that's what you remember as a gift that's special. Or maybe it's something that was a complete surprise. You had no idea what you were getting. Maybe it's something that you had never seen before, and you've never seen anything like it. I remember when I was a little guy, my grandmother bought me a gas station set. It was made out of tin, and it had all the little roll-out things where you sell the tires. They don't do that in gas stations anymore, but they used to have all the oil in the little carts, and they used to pull it out, and it had an car elevator that brought the cars up to the second floor where they did some of the maintenance, and it was this big tin thing, and it was the most amazing thing, and I was the envy of every kid in the neighborhood. I was so surprised when I got it, even though I was one of the kids that had asked for it and asked for it. But I never thought I would get it. And it was a special surprise. And to this day, I still think of that gift. And I kept it for the longest time. I don't know where it is now, but I kept it and I just saved it. Even though I had stopped playing with it, it was something that was special in my mind. Well, maybe you've got a Christmas present that was that meaningful to you. Special, precious. Well, that's exactly the gift that God gave us in his unique, precious, beloved Son, Jesus Christ. It was so unique, it's never been seen before, and it'll never be seen again. It's the most unique present that this world and you and I could ever receive. We read about some of the specialties of that name of Jesus Christ, some of the uniqueness of him and his person. And I'd like to go through some of the names that we shared already and we read from Scripture. The names of Jesus, the one who lay in the manger, the one who was given to us, Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, that babe in Bethlehem. We read in Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called." The first name is wonderful. It's interesting here that this name is a noun, not an adjective. He not only acts wonderful, and he not only does wonderful things, but he is wonderful. Everything about him is wonderful. In fact, the most wonderful thing is, and Beverly Shea used to sing this, "It's a wonder that Jesus ever loved me." Isn't that the biggest wonder? The wonder that God would actually take interest in a guy like me. That we'd actually be interested in having a relationship. And he's the God of wonder and he acts wonderful. He's the source of wonder. He's the wonderful in his love and his grace. And we read those verses in John chapter 1. Of his grace we've all received. His wonderfulness. You know what it's like? It's grace piled upon grace. And if you were to do an analyzing in your life right now, you were to think back on all the times past and all the special events and all the wonderful things that God has given to us, we have to say that it's grace piled upon grace. Isn't he wonderful that he's given us this and he's given it to us free and without charge? No wonder we have these songs that said, "Oh, come, let us adore him." Let's bow down and let's worship the one who's worthy. He's wonderful in his patience with me, and that's the most amazing thing. I know how little I have in patience and how impatient I get at work when things don't go well and how impatient I get at home when things just aren't running like I want them to run. And yet, Almighty Jesus Christ is so patient with me. It's wonderful how patient he is. He's wonderful in his fullness and his goodness, of his trueness and his consistency. Of his faithfulness. And we sing that song that his faithfulness is new every morning. Every morning when we get up, his faithfulness is brand new. And it's a testament to what God communicated to us in Scripture through James. And this is what James writes: "Every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." If you were to look at me, you'd say, "Boy, there's all kinds of shadows in my relationship with Andrew. There's all kinds of times when his back is turned to me and he's got so much room for improvement, but not this friend. There's no shadow of turning with him. He's faithful and he's wonderful. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Incarnate God, Jesus Christ, and his name is wonderful." Our next name is Counselor, and it's amazing that this word is used. I remember Rod's guidance counselor, and this is no disregard or discredit to your profession, but my guidance counselor was lousy. I got no guidance, and I'd go in for help, and I'm sure that he didn't know where he was coming and going from. And so often we've got troubles in this world, and we go, and we're looking for help from our therapist and our counselor and our guidance. And what are we getting? We're getting nothing. Very little. And we say, "Boy, they're in as bad a shape as I am." But this counselor is amazing. He's the source of joy and happiness. King David said that when he wrote this psalm in 116, verse 11. He wrote this about the Lord, and this is amazing. "You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, he knew what his counselor brought to him. He knew what his counselor was, the path that he was showing to him. And we read further in Peter's epistle 1 and 8 says, whom having not seen, and it's talking about believers looking towards Jesus Christ, the one who is their counselor. And this is what they say. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. What a counselor. What a one to show us our way and our path. Asaph in his psalm wrote this, Psalm 73, verses 23 and 24. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? What a counselor. What a friend we can rely on this morning in the person of Jesus Christ. One that holds us by our right hand. That's the hand of affection. That's where you want to be, in the right hand, the hand of strength, the hand of closeness. And he guides us, and afterward he receives us unto glory. What an end we have. We talked about it this morning. Desmond shared with us that in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. What an amazing future we have, because we've got a counselor like none other. We read on, and it says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Jesus Christ is the supreme ruler. We read in Philippians chapter 2 that he's been given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's the one who is before all things. It says in John chapter 1 that everything we look at and see is made by him, and there's nothing out there that wasn't made by him. We also read that he upholds all things. He controls it by the word of his power, that in everything it consists in the person of Jesus Christ. And we heard also that he is life. And this morning we heard that he is light. Isn't that amazing? He's the mighty God. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. All-powerful. All-knowing. All-present. In all-powerful, he's the God of creation, and he's the God of a future time when this world will be without sin. When he comes back in all his glory and his wonder and his righteous rule, and he puts sin to death finally. He's the all-powerful ruler. He's all-present. He's accessible to us everywhere we go. There's no place that we can be without him. David said in his Psalm 139, even if I go into the depths of hell, you're there beside me. He's accessible, and he's not bound by the boundaries of gravity and physics. He's every place at the same time. Isn't that amazing? That's our God. And he's all-knowing. He knows exactly my thoughts. That's scary. David said in the same psalm that, you know when I sit down, and you know when I stand up, and you know when something's on the tip of my tongue before I even say it. Imagine that. All-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, the mighty God. Psalm chapter 8 reads, O Lord our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, this is David writing this, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you should visit him. But he did visit us, didn't he? He visited us as Emmanuel, God with us, the son that was given, the babe that was born in Bethlehem. He visited us, even though that he's the mighty God and we're such small creatures. Yet the mighty God condescended to be with us. The mighty one in Psalm 50, it says, God the Lord has spoken and called the earth. This is the one who we're talking about this morning, the one who is this innocent little baby, the one who is the mighty God. His next name is the Everlasting Father. This son, Jesus Christ, is permanent. He doesn't get old and he doesn't get tired. He's not like our Christmas gifts Or some of the things you get that by the time you get them out in the end of Christmas Day, they're broken already. How many have that experience? We have a new toy and we played with it so much it's broken. It doesn't work anymore, but not this present, not this God. He's the everlasting Father. He never grows old or he never grows tired. He's the one who is the Father of eternity, the source of eternity and eternal life. Isaiah chapter 40 reads these words. What and who then can compare with me? Or who is equal to me, says the Holy One. What on earth is eternal and everlasting? Can anybody tell me? What on earth is going to last forever and ever and ever? Nothing. It's going to fall away. It's going to pass away. It's going to be burned up in fire. But this one is the one who is not bound by the boundaries of time. Psalm chapter 90, we read, Lord, you have been our dwelling or our refuge place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even you have formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Someone shared this morning that he was God before the foundations of the earth. And his plan was exactly what was communicated to man before time ever was God. And his plan always was to be the mighty God, the everlasting Father, that would communicate to this poor old world. Well, this last name is my favorite name. He's the Prince of Peace. Boy, is there a time that we need peace? We need it now, because this world doesn't have a whole lot of peace. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 14 to his disciples, he says, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace, let not your heart be troubled or afraid. Boy, there's a lot of hearts that are troubled and afraid this morning. We have no peace in this world. There's no peace out there. I was watching the news last night and 3 more soldiers were killed in Afghanistan. 3 more. Like a week and a half before Christmas. That goes to the number, I think the number is 103. There's fighting and devastation in Iraq. There's demonstrations, even our own country. We can't get our government policies straight. There's no peace. There's surely no peace in the stock market. The poor stockbrokers have to lock their doors and put bars on their windows. People are coming and saying, what happened to all that stuff I collected? And there's no peace in man's heart. And yet, here's the one who declares to be the Prince of Peace. What does this mean? Well, he's going to bring peace someday to this world. That's the eventual end, but that's not the peace that we're talking about this morning. It says in Scripture that he made peace through the blood of his cross. It says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, the angel of the Lord told Joseph in a dream that Mary would give birth to a son and that his name would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. That's the peace that he brings this morning. That's the present that we find in Jesus Christ. The very God of heaven is communicated to us in the person of Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 1 that he's the express image and the likeness exact of God. Everything that God is communicated to us in the person of Jesus Christ. But this baby was born and given to us to die. He was going to fight this war against sin so he can bring peace to our hearts and to our souls. And that's the story of Christmas, really, isn't it? It's the story of the cross. The reason that Jesus Christ was given to this world and that he was a babe born in a manger is that he would be the sacrifice for sin. God with us would become the bearer of sin and that he would lay on his body our sin. The one who was rich, and is he rich? Well, he's very rich. Yet for our sakes he became poor that we through his poverty might be so rich. And we're rich this morning if we've got Jesus Christ as our Savior. If we've trusted in the sacrifice that is the reason for Christmas, because it's all about the cross. He came and he bore our sins on his body. And I think about the very God of heaven wanting to have a relationship with each one of us. And that to do that, he had to get sin out of the way. And in order to do that, he had to be the perfect lamb the perfect lamb that was without spot. We talked about it this morning, and we sang about it. The one that had no spot or blemish, the one who is the perfect sacrifice for sin. And he stood in the gap between heaven and earth, and he gave up his life that we might have life. We were dead, and he's made us alive through his precious blood. What an amazing thing, and he's come to give us peace this morning. There's two types of peace that are in Scripture. There's the peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. That's when we look back and see our sins behind us. He's taken care of it at the cross, and we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we have now peace with God. Our sins are behind us. We're looking ahead at heaven and home and a wonderful life with Jesus as our mighty God, our counselor, our friend, our Savior. And we have the peace of God. That's what's in here. That's the quiet confidence that is given because we rely on his faithfulness and his word and his promises. The promises that guarantee us. This isn't a hope like a blind hope. This is a hope looking forward at something that is sure and that is guaranteed because the God of heaven has communicated it to us. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I do, I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you. The ones that trust me, the ones who hold me as their friend, that I might receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's a promise that we can take. That's the peace of God that I have right here that can only come supernaturally from the eternal God. I can lay my head on my pillow, and regardless of my success in life or the friends I have or not, I can say that I'm right with the eternal God. I have peace with God. And it surpasses understanding. We read that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. I can't explain it to you because it's beyond my intellect. It's beyond my understanding, the peace I have. And I can't dissect it and tell you exactly how it all comes about. But I know it comes on me when I put my faith and my trust in the babe that was born as the Savior of the world. What a gift we have this Christmas. I go back to the questions that I asked earlier. What does Christmas mean to you? And what are you looking for this Christmas? This present that was given, this God's perfect lamb, is it something that you've bypassed and not thought about really seriously for a long time? Or is it just something that we've maybe forgotten about? The present of Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the Lamb, as the Almighty God, as the Counselor. We read on, and it says in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. We talked a little bit about that. Moving forward in the future, I can't even explain what eternity looks like and how long that is, but forever we're going to be where Jesus is. That's the promise. And there'll be no end to his government and to his rule. And we read that in Revelation chapter 1. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. That's the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas is that a babe was given. He's a present like none other, unique in every way. The person of Jesus Christ is so unique as described in Isaiah chapter 9, and he's the Prince of Peace that offers peace to our hearts this morning. Peace to our families, peace to our broken spirits, peace to all the pieces of our life that need help. He obviously understands our plight, and he's asking us to come. And that declaration that he gave when he walked on this earth is the same one today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can find rest this Christmas in the baby that was given, the perfect gift, the Lamb of God. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for a reminder of how great you are. Lord, we would just ask that during this Christmas season that we would enjoy all the things that we have as traditions and as joyful occasions, and yet we would get beyond that and we would understand more clearly the truth of Christmas. Lord, we would just ask that you would make it real to our hearts and our souls of Jesus Christ and his person and his greatness. For the sacrifice that was so great and for a time when we can bring praises and honor to his name, the one who lives in the power of an endless life. And we thank you for this Savior that was born and died and rose again and sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. Lord, we ask that you would make this real to us this Christmas as we sing carols, that it would come to sing them to our hearts, and that we would reflect and respond back in praise to you. Lord, we thank you again for all the things that we have. We want to recognize the peace that we enjoy even in this country. We want to recognize that you allow this. And Lord, we thank you for this time. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.